Again, I'm going to be looking at various passages of Scripture tonight, beginning in 1 John chapter 3. Would you bow your head with me, seeking God's special anointing tonight? Father, we're thankful for this service. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the focus of our singing and worship, special song. Grateful, Lord, for all of your blessings to us. I pray for your anointing tonight, right now, in the midst of this service, as we open up your word, as we try to focus in on this particular thought and subject for a little while this evening. Pray that you would anoint my mind and my heart, my lips, anoint our ears and our hearts across this congregation this evening. And to whomever may be listening at some other time, I pray that it'll be effective to their hearts by your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people would say that the devil is fighting more and more as he sees the day approaching of Christ's coming. I don't really know if that's possible or not. We just live in our day, and we didn't really see the exact details of the battle of years gone by. But I'm confident as I read things of yesteryear that the enemy fought them just as much, just in different ways, different areas. Of course, we find that right here among us. The enemy fights you differently than the one seated beside you or in front of you or behind you. Now, there may be some similarities to the way that he fights, the way that he battles, the way that he confronts, but there is a pattern to his works, his workings. We see and go back into the book of Genesis and the very beginning of recorded time, and we see there that the very same question that Satan used with Eve is basically the same concept and the direction in which he tries to get into the minds of and hearts of people today. Hath God really said? Have you ever asked that question or heard that question asked, maybe in the shadows of the nighttime, maybe in the darkness of the storm? Some form of that question may have come to your mind and to your heart. Has God really said that? Maybe you're battling or confronting some kind of an issue, and you're trying to establish something in your life that you feel like God is wanting you to do. And the enemy tries to discourage or defeat you by questioning the validity of what God is speaking and what God is saying. I do believe that there is a conflict today that is hard fought, if not impossible to fight, unless we fight him on the terms of the battle is not ours, but God's. I can't fight him on my own. I can't make it on my own. I must have God's help. That's why he's given us the armor. We don't need to go back and look at that. It's been fairly recent that we reviewed the armor of God. And I believe that that's a vital aspect of our victory in fighting the enemy. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8, the last part of that verse: for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, not only do you and I read that there in the Scriptures, we can see that. And if you don't have your Bible open, then I would encourage you at some point to look that verse up and read it for yourself. The purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Just as much as you and I are able to read that verse, so is the enemy. You say, well, what does that mean? While it gives us encouragement, while it gives us strength and grace in the midst of the battle, it also emboldens him to come after God's creation of mankind, who have a soul that he can destroy, and in destroying that soul, he gets back at God. And so he does everything within his ability and power to destroy people. There's some people that are not in church tonight, whether it's here or some other church. There's some people that are not in church tonight because they are giving in to that battle against the enemy. I don't want to be too pointed here this evening. I don't want anybody to go home and say, well, that he's preaching at me, or that he's preaching at somebody in particular who once upon a time sat among us. I'm not trying to do that specifically, but I want us to understand that you and I, every single one of us, if we claim the name of Christ and we are a disciple of Christ, there is a target on our back spiritually where the devil wants to destroy. He wants to some way deceive and to kill. The thief goeth not but to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his purpose. But the purpose of the Son of God is to destroy the works of the devil. I like what the Amplified, how the Amplified worded it. The reason the Son of God was made visible was to undo or destroy, loosen, dissolve the works that the devil has done. And if I might even build on that just for a second here, not only the works the devil has done, but the works the devil is doing. Now, don't get this mixed up with the works of the flesh. Now, I realize that the works of the devil go hand in hand with the works of the flesh. But I don't really believe that's what the scripture is talking about here specifically. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The people that are involved with that are not a part of the kingdom of God. They don't inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture's telling us. If we move on then to even to John chapter 16, and you know, again, keeping in mind that the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. In John chapter 16, the words of Christ, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. Now, one writer said that the world here in this passage, in this verse, consist of the things that people, are you people? You people tonight? This word, world, consists of those things that people deal with. Anybody want to volunteer and tell us all as a congregation what you're dealing with in life? Probably not, huh? Probably don't have any volunteers for that. Pass the mic around and let's have some open conversation about what you're dealing with. You know, what are you dealing with? Is there a possibility that somebody is dealing with something like unbelief? Preacher, what? Well, isn't that something that the devil would throw at us? Unbelief. Now, I'm sure that you're not too willing tonight to stand up in front of this crowd and say, I'm dealing with unbelief. Now, not to say that that would be a horrible thing to do. I think that sometimes that even may be necessary to do. But he's talking about the things of this world and unbelief being one of those things that could possibly be thrown into your life. Maybe for somebody, the word rebellion would fit into what they're dealing with in life. You know, when youth camp season is coming up, and while we don't really get excited about the rebellious people, the rebellious young people that would come to youth camp because they have a tendency to disturb and to disrupt and to cause problems, and yet in reality, that's kind of what youth camp environment is looking for, somebody that is in rebellion that God can have an encounter with and bring them to repentance. But you see, when you're dealing with the world, that's something that people are dealing with, is rebellion. Rebellion against parents, rebellion against authority, and ultimately rebellion against God. The things that people are dealing with. We're dealing with sin on every hand. You don't have to go very far down the road. You may not even have to leave your own neighborhood where you are confronted with the possibility of sin. Then we're also dealing with death. Oh, we could also talk about all of those other things that are prevalent in our culture and in our world today, you know, like climate change. The ozone layer is thinning. Now, I'm not trying to make light of such things, but you see, those things are what we deal with in our physical world, and the enemy can use those things to do anything. What is it that you're thinking about? I'm not thinking in the same track and the train that you're going on, but there's something that you're thinking about tonight that would be falling into this category. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, take courage. I have overcome that, whatever that is. Overcome. The word overcome in its language given here in this passage really means to subdue. Subdue or to conquer, to overcome, to prevail, to be victorious. Victory. That's what we're ultimately talking about, is victory, overcoming, being victorious in the midst of the conflict. Destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil. So then what are the works of the devil? I said don't get them confused with the works of the flesh. What are the works of the devil? The things that we might be dealing with. I've mentioned a few things that could be brought into that category. But if I could summarize it, summarize the whole, there's discord and there's dissatisfaction and there's bitterness and there's distractedness. Ooh, distracted. You ever get distracted? Some people, when we reach a certain age, we say it's forgetfulness. You know, you go somewhere, you go to the garage to get something, and when you get there, you're distracted. You see something else, and then you forget, what did I go here for? I got distracted. There's a real potential for us to be distracted in our spiritual walk, folks. Maybe you don't like the word distracted, so use the word sidetracked. You know, distractedness and sidetrack can be simply that our zeal dies off or it cools off, and we're praying less and we're reading less and we're memorizing less and we're seeking God less. And when we get into that point of being less, then it's easy for us to justify our own things. It's easy to justify where I'm located. And then when I begin to justify where I'm located, I begin to look where somebody else is located, and I begin to make comparisons, and in that comparison, I begin to judge, and I begin to make critiques, and I think I have some perceptions about them. And boy, we could spend some time talking about perceptions tonight. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that when we compare ourselves among ourselves, that we're really unwise. Now, maybe we get caught up and say, well, I'm better than they are. I'm comparing myself to them, and so I'm better than they are. Or God, you're treating them better than you treat me. Or maybe you're on the other side of that. Lord, you're treating me better than you treat anybody else. Well, that's a wow. Is there a little bit of arrogance there? Comparing ourselves. Let me summarize it, though. I started to say that a little bit ago and got carried. I got sidetracked. I got distracted. Summarize it. What is it? What is it? The works of the devil, the thing that he would use to pull me away. It could be summarized with these few words. Anything that pulls me away, from God, or chills my heart in its love and fervency for God. Anything. And even if it's acceptable or lawful. You know, was it Paul the Apostle said that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient? All things are okay. There's a lot of things that he would say would be fine to do, but not everything that falls into that category as being okay is really okay for the individual, because there's a tendency to be pulled away from that zeal, the chilling of our love. You remember what Jesus had to say to the church in Revelation? You're not hot, you're not cold, but you're lukewarm. Jesus came, he was manifested, he was made visible so that he could destroy the works of the devil in a person's life. So, well, is that important? That is very important for us to understand, because we can step aside, step outside of the box, so to speak, and say, well, that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil in the general sense. But my problem is my problem. No, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil in a person's life. And that would include those things that I mentioned, unbelief and rebellion and sin. Why? How do we have that victory? It's because Jesus was victorious over him. Jesus was victorious over him. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist. Do you ever hear of the spirit of Antichrist in your world? The spirit of Antichrist is prevalent in the church world today. I mean, the church general. The debate is big and the debate is strong whether Jesus was divine or not. There's a big debate that goes on in the general church world today, debating whether or not there is a real triune Godhead. Don't ask me to explain it. I'm not smart enough to explain it, but I believe it. I believe in it. The spirit of Antichrist would be that which I've already mentioned of Satan in the Garden of Eden, where he said, "Hath God really said?" You see, that's the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of coolness. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, the Old Testament prophet said. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. At ease. The coolness. You know, if we spend a little bit of time tonight, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but I need to finish that in 1 John first, though. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Destroying the works of the devil. The spirit of Antichrist. Now let's move on here to the book of Revelation. You see, in all the seven churches that Jesus was speaking about and speaking to in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the message from heaven, so many of them fell short. Verse after verse, we find that they fell short. But even in the midst of their shortcoming, listen to what the Spirit said. John records it for us. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. Verse number 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh. Are you getting the picture? To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse number 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Chapter 3 and verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Verse number 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. In verse number 21, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, verse number 8, chapter 21. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All of those things could be the manifestation of the devil, the works of the devil that have taken place in a person's life who did not overcome, but to him that overcame. means that that person received the victory crown, the victory march, the victory lap, whatever you want to say. The victorious one is the one to receive the blessing of the glories of heaven. How can I? How can you be victorious? Good question. John said it very well in the passage that we've already read. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Even your faith. Faith in who? Faith in what? Faith in the overcomer. Faith in the overcomer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. It's that daily walking in faith of the one who overcame, provides us victory to overcome. Is the devil fighting? I know that he is. But you can overcome. We can overcome. We can be steadfast in our faith to be victorious daily. Would you stand with me tonight? Natalie was adamant that I wouldn't preach for an hour. Please don't preach for an hour tonight. So you can thank her. Let's live victorious through faith in him who was victorious. He overcame. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Doug Damon, would you dismiss us in prayer?